You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Earlier today, I spoke to Christopher Luxon, Nationals MP for Botany, as part of my weekly interview with him. This week, he had his maiden speech in Parliament, speaking about his goals, his career, the National Party, and his faith. We went over some of the main points from the speech, including his religious beliefs and the role of private companies in promoting social causes. You gave your maiden speech to Parliament this week, and one aspect of it in particular made it to the headlines of a few different media sources, your faith. And you said, "It seems it has become acceptable to stereotype those who have a Christian faith in public life as extreme." Who exactly are you talking about stereotyping Christians here?
Oh, look, I think, first of all, the maiden's a great opportunity to sort of say who you are, you know, why you're in Parliament and attracted to, you know, public service and what you want to do in it. And that was really what I was trying to talk about. Yes, I spoke about faith. It was one piece of what I was talking about. But the reason I did so was because, it's never really been an issue before. I've been able to be CEO and have run a business career and people haven't ever talked about it in a public sense. But actually media and commentators who I'd never met started talking about it and presupposing what kind of person, therefore, I would be and what kind of, you know, how I'd be as an MP. So I just thought it was important to actually put on record, actually given I hadn't had a chance to talk about it and given others were in the media, that I should be able to say what it meant to me. And so I did. I spoke about what my faith meant to me personally, that it sort of anchored me in a set of values, but more importantly sort of gave my life some purpose and made me part of something bigger than myself, and then talked about, having said that, you know, Christians in public life is an okay thing, given we look at our history and who's made contributions to public life, but importantly also acknowledging that actually as an MP who happens to be a Christian, I'm representing all New Zealanders, and so I don't act in the interest of one group or one interest or one faith, and so making sure there is a clear separation of church and state, as we would say, as I go about my role as an MP. So that was really what I was trying to communicate.
Why do you think it's become more talked about in the media? Why has it suddenly become a topic of discussion?
Well, I think it's you know, partly there's political motives, you know, because it's easier to put you into a political box as being and stereotyped, and that happens not just in a faith sense, but in lots of ways, you know, across daily life. And people are interested because I guess I am in a public role, and so more of your personal beliefs are more available to people and are more talked about. So, that just sort of goes with the territory, I guess.
One other question about faith. Do you think it makes you a better politician? And do you think, in general, having a faith background helps politicians?
Not necessarily, no. No, I don't. Actually, I think, being a great politician is a skill in itself. And, there's a whole bunch of tasks and skills that are necessary to be good at public service. I think that's what it's worth, rather than being a politician, it's about public service. But for me, at a personal level, as I said to people, my faith is personal, it's not a political agenda. It's given me great surety in my life, because it gives me something to anchor to and something bigger than myself. And so that's how it's worked for me at a personal level. But, in the same way, I would like to think I was a great CEO, had the skills to be a great CEO, and my Christianity was a part of who I was, but my skills as a CEO or the skills as a politician stand on their own. They're not linked to faith at all in my mind.
Yeah, and so moving on to your role as a CEO, in your maiden speech you also discussed how you championed social causes as CEO of Air New Zealand. This sort of change is commendable, but obviously it was a decision made by an individual company rather than being state mandated. Do you think this sort of change is best driven by individual private companies or the government?
No, best driven. It will only be driven by individual businesses and business leaders. The government can mandate all it wishes, and that's a very dangerous place to get to when government thinks it knows best and is telling business and or community leaders what they should or shouldn't be doing. My premise is slightly different. I've come from a background where I read a great book actually when I was 14 called Man's Search for Meaning by a guy called Viktor Frankl. He was a great Holocaust survivor, and he talked a lot in that book about how a commentary on the Western civilization essentially, and he was saying that, you want a Statue of Liberty on the East Coast and a metaphorical Statue of Responsibility on the West Coast. that as essentially as business people or as a capitalist system that we have great liberty to run our businesses as we see fit, but with that comes responsibility. And that idea of rights and responsibility as a business leader is really important. So I believe that there's sort of three big actors in civil society. They really are the government, there is the community, and there is business. And they each can do different things. So government can set down train tracks and rules and stuff, but, you know, business can move with tremendous scale. A good example would be the New Zealand government has, I think, 15,000 cars. You'd be lucky if 120 of them are electric. I made Air New Zealand fully electric 6 years ago, you know. So, you know, that's where you can move with great speed, great scale on a lot of initiatives. And then communities are really, organisations are really important because they see the pain points, the pressures, the frustrations that, and the needs of people who are hurting in the community. And so the three actors of community, business, government actually have to collaborate and work together on our biggest challenges and also our biggest opportunities.
All those policies you talk about, ultimately, in some ways, it is an individual decision from a particular company to follow that. There is not necessarily an economic incentive behind it. So how do you ensure all companies are championing social equality?
That comes back. Yeah, you're getting some really good questions. But the answer is that as a CEO or a business leader, it's realizing it's not just about your shareholders. It's about a broader stakeholder group. I always felt I could make another $100 million profit each and every year at Air New Zealand. But in order to do that, I'd be making a whole bunch of short-term decisions that would sacrifice good long-term quality outcomes. So I could make another $100 million by cutting the training and investment budgets on that we were spending on training and developing our people, for example, or not investing in the customer service properly, or all those sorts of things. But you'd end up just cashing the business up. And actually, if you want to be in business for the long term, you've got to make good, clean, long-term decisions. And so I felt, yes, actually, if we made good levels of profit, we could give, you know, tens of millions of dollars of back to our customers, back to our employees, sorry, who worked at Air New Zealand, because they should participate. When a company did well and made good profit, they should participate as well. And that wasn't, I wasn't asked to do that. It wasn't part of a union negotiation. It was just us deciding it was the right thing to do.
But,
and as a consequence of that, the benefit is very simply that when we hit a tough time, people at Air New Zealand, it's the number one place people want to work. They felt very attached to the organisation. They went above and beyond to help us when we had crises like COVID, like engine issues on the 787s, etc.
But what if CEOs don't have these same good intentions as you do, perhaps?
Well, look, I think that is happening. I mean, I think it is a modern generation of CEOs who understand they've got to integrate the economic, the social, the cultural, the environmental into what they're doing. And I would put it to you that in many cases, you know, there's, you know, if I think about the work that we did with 65 CEOs across diversity and making sure we you know, got more representation with gender and Māori and Pacifica and ethnicity, we came together on those issues. If you think about probably 50-plus companies that signed up to the Climate Leaders Coalition, which we created this vehicle so that the government would have the confidence to go forward and create net carbon zero legislation, right, for 2050. And so those were things where business was well ahead of government in thinking and in the right place, well ahead of where government got to. So, but that gave government confidence to go off and get a multi-party support for that legislation across the piece, which is, you know, that's the role that business leaders could play. So, yeah, I hear what you're saying, and it's very easy, to stereotype business leaders all being about just making, cranking up the cash and making a bunch of money, and that's what it's all about, and making not good long-term decisions. But if you're serious about building a good, high-quality, long-term business, you're going to be thinking about sustainability. You're going to be thinking about the society that you're part of, your workforce, what their needs are, how you serve them better, how you serve customers better. So, yeah, I think, you know, it's very different from the old days when I grew up, where there was some, you know, real captains of industry. It was all about shareholders' returns. But now I think most businesses, the good businesses, the ones that are successful and around the world or in New Zealand, are actually thinking in a stakeholder lens.
What about the specific policies that you introduced, such as you extended leave for victims of domestic abuse up to 3 weeks, or making all of New Zealand's car fleet electric? Would it not be useful if the government was introducing a policy like this across all companies?
Well, it would be. So here's an example, right? So several years, you know, 6 years ago, I got together with the CEO of Mercury Energy at the time, a guy called Fraser Winnerey, and we got together and said, actually, we've got an issue around carbon and emissions as a country, as an economy, and so we need to do something about it. And we got, say, I think it was 50 CEOs together over a breakfast who committed that they would move one-third of their company car fleets, which are quite large, to fully electric within 2 years. And we did it quicker, faster, better than that, really. Everyone moved to electric much quicker. And the deal was we went to the government and said, well, why do, if business leaders at the time could generate 2,000 electric vehicles, it was, you know, some years back, then why can't you as a government match that commitment? And actually, in that 6 years, government has not bought, you know, really invested in electric car fleets. Yet if they say they're really serious about a climate emergency and a climate declaration, then you've got to have a plan to actually do that and to cut those emissions down. And so, you know, but then they're talking about it, but they're not actually doing it. And those are two very different things.
What I was talking a little bit more about is, like, if the government introduced legislation to make companies make their car fleets electric, for example.
But no disrespect, government can't do it to itself. Government's got the biggest car fleet in the country and it's done nothing on it itself. And so business leaders are well ahead of government in terms of making those progressive and important decisions. So the same on social, you know, a bunch of us got together and said, well, hang on, you know, family violence is a horrendous story in New Zealand. It's, you know, we're probably the third worst in the world in this space, if not the worst. And if you've got someone coming to the office environment, they've got respite from away from the perpetrator of violence, and they've got a break from them. And so why aren't we thinking about how we can support our employees in that way? And so we did create a 3-week paid leave where you work with a team at work quietly, undercover, your leave's not talked about on your payslip, and you work up a safety management plan so that when you choose to leave a bad situation, when that violence breaks out, you know exactly what you're doing with your kids, your finances, and if I have to move you from one city to another city within the company, we can do all of that. And that's important because you realise, you know, women leaving bad situations are taking 6 to 7 times before they actually get away from an abusive partner. And so we want to make sure we can do it right the first time and do it in a really thought-through way. So, you know, those are things that you just get to because it's the right thing to do, right? And it's actually good for your business because you're helping the well-being and you're caring about that individual that works for you and does so much for you. So I think this answer that government needs to mandate in a nanny state kind of way and that they know best about what is good and what is bad, when there is government people, there are community-minded people who see need and hurt across the community and really see the pain points and the frustrations and what people are wrestling with. Businesses care deeply about their people, their customers, their own business and the sustainability and the long-term nature of that. And yes, there'll always be recalcitrant. There's bad people in government, there's bad people in business, there's bad people in community organisations. But you've got to, you know, build these big, broad coalitions and actually get these things sort of done across the country.
That was MP Christopher Luxon on the role of faith in politics and private companies promoting social equality.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.